Right now, it is time for us to be joined by Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We rebroadcast Arthur on the weekends and also during the week. We talk about food, the many different aspects. Good morning, Arthur.
I'm laughing because August in the northwest corner, I always used to call it the Connecticut rainforest. The humidity never ceased.
It absolutely is true. Well, anyway, good morning.
Good morning. So, but the good thing that late August brings are figs. And I sort of have forgotten about getting figs, and blah, 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 blah. I'll get to that in a minute. But I was at my nephew's over the weekend, and he had a bowl of Black Mission figs on the kitchen counter, and he wasn't eating them. I ate one or two under the really stupid, for me, assumption that I shouldn't be eating figs because I'm diabetic, that, you know, it's a real treat. But anyway, as I was leaving yesterday, he said, why don't you take the figs with you? So I did. He thought that they were overripe. I would think that they were a little underripe, actually. But figs do. Figs are very, very delicate beings. And they do attract mold. So they can be, you have blushes of white on the outside that looks like they're rotten. But in fact, they're not. And if you wash that off, they're probably sweeter than all the other figs in the bowl. And if it really bothers you, you can peel them. Fig skin is edible. But, and, you know, I don't bother peeling figs mostly, there's no need. But you do wash them off. But if you want to, you can peel them. So some people do peel figs, but it's not necessary. The common fig, I should say, it's not so common, but because figs are still expensive and not an everyday fruit. But the ones you see most are Mission figs, or sometimes called Black Mission figs, but they're not black. They're this wonderful, deep, bluey purple color. They're the color of, you would think, of a fig. However, there are green figs, too. So I eat the figs from Brian, and I have had now a bad stomach since Saturday night. And you know what? They sort of cured my bad stomach. I now have a cup of ginger tea brewing. I've already had a cup of coffee, and it went down okay. And I'm not really feeling it. So I thought, well, I really am better. I woke up this morning feeling better. And I did have six figs. So this, to me, was a real indulgence. But, in fact, going online this morning because I feel better, and I'm not dying of in a diabetic coma. I'm just joking. I find out that figs are actually good for diabetics. It's one of the good fruits for diabetics. The others are all in the berry family. Maybe figs are actually a berry, but all in the berry family, full of seeds. So I think it's the high fiber content, and even though they taste really, really sweet, the real, truly low sugar content. For instance, I don't think if on a percentage basis figs are probably lower in sugar than bananas. And I do eat a banana a couple days a week. Not my everyday fruit, because that is all tropical fruits, they say, are not good for diabetics. So I stick to not tropical fruits, and that's not so hard. Anyway, so figs really are better than I thought. Each fig has, a mission fig is not very big. There are some bigger ones, but even, you know, a little bit bigger, it's not more than 35 calories per fig, 30 calories to 35 calories per fig. The bigger green figs, which I find are not as sweet, not to say that they're not sweet, they're sweet, are probably more like 40 to 45, because they're significantly bigger. Figs, I can just eat them right out of hand, as I did last night, rinse them off, hold them by the stem. Sometimes if there's little ones, I bite off the whole thing at once, and I really enjoy that.
I used to love Fig Newtons as a kid.
Well, so the reason I had this impression that even fresh figs were not so good for me is because dried figs are not so good for me. Because, of course, you dry the fig and the sugars concentrate. And, you know, and I know this also from the dried fig situation, from the days when I did check my blood sugar all the time. I don't have to do that anymore. But I do know that, you know, my blood sugar really reacted to a fig Newton. Well, not a fig Newton, but a dried fig. Fig Newtons, I love fig Newtons, by the way. Do you know that fig Newtons actually have a southern Italian ancestor called cucidate?
No.
Do you ever have cucidate?
I don't think so, but my grandmother used
I would be surprised if you hadn't, because that's one of those southern Italian sweets that's become sort of assimilated. And it's basically a fig Newton. Well, the fig Newton is basically a cucidate, but cucidate are almost always decorated with confetti sprinkles. And so, you know, these are the fig Newtons, the handmade ones. I've even seen them wrapped in plastic in a deli in New York City. But by the way, this is I was going to say Italian grandmas, but at this point it's Italian great-grandmas or great-great-grandmas. often, of all the things they baked, at Christmas time, they would bake cucidate because it's such a traditional Christmas sweet in southern Italy and Sicily, too. I think the word is more... I don't know what the word is, how they say it in Sicily. I have to look that up. I know that cucidate is certainly the word used in Italian-American bakeries and by Italian-Americans that I know. So that's the fig Newton, but that's with dried figs.
Yeah.
You know, fresh figs are, to me, another animal. And I like them, as I said, just out of hand. But this morning when I said, oh, I should eat more figs, the first thing I thought of was I love figs with prosciutto. Americans are mostly familiar with eating prosciutto with melon. By the way, when Italians eat prosciutto with melon, the melon is not so sweet. It's often firm and fragrant, but not so sweet. But a little bit sweet. But sweet things go very well with prosciutto, sweet fruit and prosciutto. So figs are ideal, and I could just have a plate with prosciutto and some halved figs. You want to halve them because they look so good inside, you know. It's a very suggestive interior. I'm trying to think of the name of the D.H. Lawrence book that has this sexy scene with figs. But it'll come to me. Women in Love? I think so. Anyway, so figs and figs go very well with some cheeses. So you could have like a platter or a plate, I should say, each individual, with some cheese and some cut up figs. The Americans just love mascarpone, which is basically cream cheese, but Italian, and a little tangy, not so sweet as Philadelphia cream cheese, which, by the way, Italians call Philadelphia, and they do eat it with figs, and they eat it a lot. Anyway, but I would actually prefer the mascarpone with the figs. But even a sharp cheese goes well with figs. A mild provolone or even a medium provolone with figs. And salty cheeses go well with figs. So you could have it with a piece of sheep's milk cheese or shards of pecorino. Or even, Parmigiano, sure, too. Anyway, it goes very... cheddar. Figs and cheddar cheese, very good combination. And figs and nuts. I don't know. I would want them to be nuts that grow in places that figs grow. And that would be, of course, almonds. But almonds don't have a whole lot of flavor. They're really good for you, though. That, speaking of foods that are good for you, of all the nuts, I think almonds may top it for various reasons. Pistachios, which are also extremely extremely healthful. They're even being promoted lately, finally, as a healthy nut. And you can buy shelled pistachios, and if you are really troubled by having to shell pistachios yourself to put in a salad or something. But when you're just putting a few on a plate with some figs, I think you can manage the shelling. Then there's hazelnuts are great with figs. And in fact, where Cecilia lives in the edge of Cilento, which is a mountainous area in Salerno, in the province of Salerno, they're famous for both hazelnuts and figs. And in fact, because traditionally, but not so much anymore, transportation roads have been so bad up there that they had to find ways to preserve all the figs that they had and all the nuts that they had. Well, nuts actually last a lot longer than figs. And they came up with confections that you can now buy even in the States, made of dried figs and local hazelnuts. If you go online, you'll find these products. There are a few around from Cilento. So if I could, the dried figs are sensational, of course. And that's one of the reasons cuchidate, or fig Newtons, as we would call them, are such a popular confection, because they got lots of figs. And when you have lots of something, you eat a lot of it. And another thing that Cecilia does with the local figs, now these are very delicate green figs. They do not travel far. She's just, you know, on the plain at the edge of the mountains. And the figs are grown all over the mountains. If you go up there now, you're going to see actual dry these shacks on the road where they dry the figs and racks to dry the figs. And in fact, I have in my possession bamboo racks that are used to dry figs in the Cilento, only because I went to visit the basket maker to see how he made these things, and I bought a few from him, and I managed to get them home in my suitcase, and I think they're very decorative, as well as useful to people who dry figs. Actually, if we had the climate to do so, we don't. I think it's too humid for us to dry figs, and not hot enough. Our heat comes with humidity, unfortunately. So, if you saw how they dry figs in Cilento, you probably would never eat them because the flies like figs as much as we do. And in fact, here's a little bit of trivia. Did you know that some vegans, I think some sort of far edge vegans, don't eat figs because figs are part of the life cycle of wasps? And at the end of the life of the wasp, it is basically devoured by the fig flower. And so even though figs are, you know, without figs, the wasps wouldn't be. And without wasps, the figs wouldn't be. But some loony vegans won't eat figs because it's involved in the life cycle of wasps. So it's just like I there are some vegans who won't eat honey because it's the product of a living being, a bee. I always, if you ask a vegan why they're vegan, you know, they'll tell you it's because of the exploitation of animals and cruelty to animals. And I say, you know, well, chickens would lay eggs with or without us. And so I don't feel that that's exploiting the chicken, except part of the life cycle of us and the chicken. And I know goats that are treated better than some children. So you can't talk about cruelty to animals. It's easy access to humanely, if you want to use that word, that's another politically charged word these days, humanely. Let's get back to figs.
Yes.
I'm going to go out today in the heat and humidity. but I'm only going to go as far as Whole Foods and one other market in search of figs to put up for until next year. I just finished off not that long ago my jar of figs in wine syrup. And because my recipe creates more syrup than you need to keep the figs, I bottle the syrup separately, and we use the syrup all the time to drizzle over yogurt. Did I say that figs are great with yogurt? In fact, yogurt with figs and some nuts, and if you have it, a drizzle of my fig wine syrup, or honey if you care, to sweeten it up even more, is like a divine cold supper. So I'm in search of figs today. It's like I'm a hunter-gatherer here, and I'm hunting for figs today because I want to make my figs and wine syrup. But, you know, I guess I'm maybe too frugal. I don't like to pay a dollar a fig for this. So this should be the end of August, the height of fig season, which means that I should be able to buy a big basket full of figs for practically nothing. And I need a minimum of 20 figs to make it worthwhile to cook this. And it is something you have to cook a long time, and it takes a little bit of effort. So I want to make more than that. I want to make at least 40 figs. And that is going to end up with 2 quarts, 4 pints, if you want to, however you want to jar it. This is a very good gift item, by the way. So I want at least 40 figs, and I'm looking to not spend a whole lot. We'll see what happens. If I'm a little too early in the season, because this will go, fig season will go on until into the fall. I don't know about local season, but there are. I don't think you have any fig trees in the northwest corner, but we have tons of fig trees in Brooklyn. At least we used to have tons of fig trees in Brooklyn. They were, if you're Italian, you get off the boat and you plant a fig tree. And so certain neighborhoods where there were a lot of Italians, especially southern Italians, particularly southern Italians, I never knew anybody from north of Rome when I grew up, they planted fig trees. But those neighborhoods have mostly become Chinese, and the Chinese don't get figs the way Mediterranean people do. And so they ripped out the fig trees, the old fig trees. I should go. I knew one block that had, like, almost every house had a fig tree in front of it. I'm going to go down that block soon and see what's going on, because those trees should be laden now. This is the height of fig season locally. And I used to have listeners / neighbors who would bring me figs and put them on my doorstep, so to speak. It was irresistible, and I would make these figs. So for every 20 figs, well, you need one clove per fig. So however many figs you have, you need to put a whole clove stuck in the fat bottom part of the fig. And while you're doing this, you can bring to a simmer 1 1/4 cups of my recipe says hard. By the way, this recipe is in the Southern Italian Table. In this recipe, by the way, Cecilia doesn't know I have this recipe. And when I asked her for it when I was writing the book, she wouldn't give it to me. She said, no, that's a secret recipe because I sell these at the farm. And she does sell these at the farm. And she serves these at the farm. But in fact, I said, but I've made these with you, and well, I've made these with her cook many times, so I know the recipe. I just don't know the proportions exactly. So anyway, I got them, and now she tells me, oh, I never put cloves in the bottom. I said, well, at least for 3 years, I put cloves in the bottom of your fig, so I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, I put a clove at the bottom of each fig. And I simmer together 1 1/4 cups of hearty dry red wine. It doesn't have to be expensive wine. I use, what do I use? I use whatever I can get for $12 or less, Italian red wine. 2 cups of sugar. So that's your syrup. 1 1/4 cups of hearty dry red wine and 2 cups of sugar, into which I put, you know, 2 is probably enough, 3-inch cinnamon sticks. I don't want to make it really cinnamony, but, you know, sometimes cinnamon sticks are very aromatic and sometimes they're not so aromatic. 2 or 3 3-inch cinnamon sticks. And so while you're poking each fig with a clove, bring that to a boil, and gently place the figs in the simmering series. Of course, as soon as you add some figs, you're going to lose the simmer. So as soon as you've added all the figs, watch the pot, and this is the part that's difficult. You have to simmer these steadily, but very, very gently for 3 hours. This, you are preserving these figs, and you're also making a sensational syrup at the same time. So it does take 3 hours. You don't want it really boil. You don't want it boiling at all. You want it to be really steady but very, very gentle simmer. And you're going to have to adjust the heat over the 3 hours. I know this. And, of course, as it cooks, the syrup will cook down a little bit. And so you do have to adjust the heat. When it's all done, allow the figs to cool in the syrup, and then you pack them in jars. I don't bother processing these because I keep them in the refrigerator, so I just pack them into a jar, cover all the figs with syrup. Don't pack them in. I mean, don't push them down. And you will have extra syrup. So I funnel that into a bottle, and I keep it in the refrigerator. And when it's good on ice cream, it's good on plain yogurt, it's good in seltzer, or, you know, as a beverage, just as a little bit of a few tablespoons, I'd say, of wine fig syrup, and into an 8-ounce glass of sparkling water. I've never tried this, but it just came to mind that it would probably make a very good cocktail. I mean, you could put in sparkling wine with a few drops of your fig syrup. So now that I know they're medicinal, I can't eat wine syrup figs as a diabetic. Not many, anyway. But now that I know figs are better for me than I thought they were, I'm going to eat more figs. This may be my new motto for the fall. And the other thing that is super medicinal for me, at least it always is, and we'll see in a few minutes because I have a cup steeping, is ginger tea. Now, by the way, ginger is a good flavor with figs. And I would try, like, making a ginger syrup and poaching figs in it. That could be really good, especially if it's cold and on yogurt. But ginger tea has always settles my stomach, and no matter what the condition, truly. And I've discovered that most of the ginger tea you buy in the supermarket is not just ginger. It's ginger and something else. So I don't want ginger and something else. So I bought online from a company called Traditional Medicinals, and I love their ginger tea because it's only ginger. Now, of course, if you're somebody who keeps ginger in their kitchen because you cook with ginger, with fresh ginger root, you can just put a few slices of ginger root into a cup of boiling water and let that sit for a while to steep, and it really works wonders, as does ginger ale. That's the old remedy for nausea. And also Coca-Cola, they say, helps nausea. Now, last night, when my stomach was in an uproar, I did have a few sips of Coke because Bob was drinking a Coke and it was handy. I don't normally drink Coke, but I only had like 2 big sips. So I'm not sure which is whether it was the figs or the Coke that settled my stomach last night, one or the other. So ginger is so good for you that you probably should drink ginger every day. The only warning I have about figs is nothing at all bad about figs, except that it's high in vitamin K, which means that if you're on a blood thinner, you should be careful about eating figs. I have a friend who's on a blood thinner, and she won't even eat romaine lettuce, only iceberg, because green leaves are high in vitamin K. So that's my only warning, health-wise, about these very good-for-you foods. Have you ever seen a fig tree grown in Sharon?
I don't think I'd recognize it.
I don't think. Oh, you wouldn't recognize it? You're kidding me.
No, well,
the
no.
Fig leaf is so iconic, after all. That's the real. The word iconic totally applies to fig leaves.
I noticed.
Remember,
a fig,
Adam and Eve or fig leaves.
I noticed a fig leaf on statues, but then again, there's not normally a naked man standing behind a fig leaf on trees.
No, let me say, years ago, our bathroom was plastered. Well, not plastered, but we had photographs of Greek statues, almost all of which either were covered with fig leaves in the appropriate place or had that part cut off. And we had an Italian friend who said, can I use your other bathroom? I said, why, Francesco? He said, because I can't look at fig leaves and cut off penises.
That's right. It ruins the moment. That's right.
So we sent him to the other bathroom. I'm trying to think what was on the walls in that other bathroom at that time.
Well, like I said, my problem is that my grandmother used to love to sit with me and eat ice cold milk with fig Newtons.
Ooh.
And she also got me, I can't eat them to this day, but when I was a kid, she would bring out the saltines and she would bring out sardines. And I would sit with her and eat sardines on saltines.
Oh, I could see that. Actually, see, next week, let me talk more about saltines. Because if you can remember back a month or two ago, excuse me, I made Betty Groff's saltine pudding.
Yep.
And it's really good. And quickly, I kind of know it by heart, only because I'm obsessed with it, except I have only made it once. I'm dying to make it again because the saltines come in four sleeves, and we still have 2.5 sleeves left here. I'm forgetting how many crackers. But anyway, you can look it up online. The point is, the other day I'm watching Ree Drummond, who's the pioneer lady or whatever she calls herself.
Yep.
And she makes real food. So sometimes it's a little too real for me. But anyway, this was not, and I'm dying to try it, is you dip saltines into a butter, herb, you want to add pepper, salt, whatever seasonings you want, truly, to the butter. And then you bake the saltines, and you get, well, you can imagine what you get. Yeah. So I'm going to try this. In fact, Brian sent me home. I just thought of this. Brian sent me home with some butter made with Old Bay seasoning, that spice that they use for crabs in Maryland.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try. Maybe I should try Old Bay saltines. I'll mix that with some herbal ones, too.
All right.
So I have my work cut out for me today.
All right. Well, I want you to have a good day and a good weekend. We'll check with you again next Monday morning.
That's right. Figs on saltines. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.